Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's program originally set to air February 23rd and 24th, year of our Lord 2025. Hadn't thought about it till just now, but 23, 24, and 25 are the days we're looking at. Been about that temperature the last few days as we record this week's broadcast. Hey, I appreciate you tuning in and listening today, wherever this may find you. We're in Luke chapter 4. Last week we talked about the temptation of Christ. That was just after the baptism of Christ. These things happened to him not to make him the Son of God, but to reveal that he was the Son of God. He faced great temptations from Satan. He responded each time with the same thing, the Word of God. Satan even attempted to use his own words against him. But Jesus was the Word. He is the Word. And my friends, we too can be saved by the Word. That is what he is. We're going to pick up today in verse 14, Luke chapter 4, verse 14. I will point out to you that in verse 13, it says the devil, when he had ended, it says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed him for a season. He would come back. But in this moment in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. You know, as I read that verse, I thought, you know, Jesus' fame was beginning to grow. And I do understand as we go to the Gospel of John, we read about some miracles and this type of thing early on. But, you know, Jesus was not only known for his miracles, and this is going to come out just really right here in the next few verses and more so as we go through today's text. Jesus was known for his teaching. His teaching was different. The Gospel of Mark recorded that the common people received him gladly. I believe it's in Matthew where it says, you know, he taught them not as the scribes and Pharisees, but as one who had knowledge. And, you know, of course, I didn't live during this time, didn't live during the time of the scribes and Pharisees, this type of stuff. I would say that they're teaching at best, because some of them were not the enemy. You know, there were some like Nicodemus and others who were sincere in their faith. But the best that they could do, I believe, was a plastic type of teaching of the commandments. Now, and I don't mean to knock them in that. And as I was listening to Alistair Begg just not long here again before the recording of this broadcast, he was talking about how, you know, the keeping of the commandments is a way to worship God. You know, we show our respect for his authority by respecting his commandments. But Jesus was able to teach the people in a different way. He was relatable. He was real. He understood the purpose of the commandment. Maybe, because I wasn't there, maybe he could help the people see why the commandments were necessary. I'm going to tell you, as a teacher, and I don't understand all the time what makes one teacher better than another. Now, I do think number one is the desire to be a good teacher. I think that's something that needs to be there. But, you know, I think that one of the things as a pastor, as a teacher, that I need to do in order to help the people that listen to me is not to try to make things more complicated, but to try to make it simple. One of the things I emphasize with my kids in school today, there were some big words in our book, like things like biodiversity and, you know, maybe this one wasn't today, but ecological succession, this type of stuff. And they're giving me these answers, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Tell me what this means in English. If I can't tell you what this means in simple words, I don't know what it means. And I can't remember it on a test when it comes time for me to write it now. And I'm with them, I'm doing this for the, for their benefit so that they can try to remember these things. When it comes to the Word of God, hey, I'm not taking a shot at anybody, but the fact of the business is there's some folks out there that think that the bigger words you use, the more respected you'll be. I don't think that's the case. You've got to be able to take those big words, not that I have them in my vocabulary, and break them down into little words that the rest of us can understand. W.A. Criswell, pastor of the largest Baptist church in Dallas, Texas at its time, First Baptist Church in Dallas, said you need to preach on a fourth grade level. He said if you'll preach on a fourth grade level, everybody out there will be able to understand you that's above the age of accountability. And those people who need to come to Christ will be able to understand you. I think Mr. Criswell was right. Now in verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now here again, this is those next few scriptures, as I said, kind of bearing this out. However, I warn you, today's text is going to take a tragic turn. And he came to Nazareth. Now that's where Jesus grew up at. He was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book, a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is in Isaiah 61, by the way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind. Now, that might be something important to remember. To set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them who were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So Jesus has read this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel, to give sight to the blind. Now that's going to come out later on. When he starts giving blind people their sight, they're going to start saying, wait a minute. And this never happened before. Maybe this is a fulfillment of scripture here. And it was. He closed the book. Everybody's looking at him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered, I really like this, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now, I know that's not even the whole verse. But there's, and here, and in this verse is where the turn comes, by the way. They're amazed by the way that he speaks. We don't know if it's the sound of his voice, but we're seeing what he's teaching. We're hearing what he's teaching, but we don't have the inflection. And we don't see his gaze as he's looking around the room. And maybe he uses his hands to, we don't know. We don't know all that. They say, this man can talk. This man uses gracious words. This might lead us to believe that the Pharisees were harsh. We weren't as good as them and never would be. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Jesus, instead of saying, go do this and go do that, said, come unto me. And I will give you rest. He says, the rest of this verse, here again is where the turn takes place. I'm going to go back and reread it. Verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these words, were filled with wrath. They were angry. Now, Jesus is telling them some things, and they're amazed at his ability to speak, his ability to read, at how well he can do these things. And they say, didn't this boy grow up here? And Luke, for whatever reason, doesn't include some of the things some of the other guys say. Hey, this is the carpenter's son. This is the carpenter. How does this guy know this stuff? And we know this is the same account because Jesus tells us, you know what? You might have honor, but you won't have it in your hometown. I mean, that's combining the accounts of the Gospels together there. You know, it's hard for a pastor, I'll even go as far as say sometimes for a school teacher, for a doctor, for other type of professionals to be able to work in their own hometown because people just don't take them seriously. People say, I know that kid. I remember when he grew up here. But then Jesus adds here, and I really like this because I like these stories from the Old Testament. He said, there was a lot of widows in Israel when Elijah was here. And there was a drought for 3.5 years. This is the same one it talks about in the book of James. But Elijah only went to one of them. That's the story. That's the story about how that God used Elijah to help save this widow. And save Elijah too, by the way. It's in 1 Kings 17. And then there was old Naaman, the Syrian, who was an enemy of Israel. He was a great man, but he was a leper. He had a servant girl who was an Israelite who said, boy, I wish you could go see Elisha. And he did, and he was healed. Now, friends, these people weren't Israelites. But Jesus says God saw fit to help them. And when they heard these words, they couldn't stand it. Now, I don't understand why. But it says in verse 29, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were going to throw him down head first and be rid of him. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. I say, because it wasn't his time. I say, because no matter how much power is heaped up against Christ, he will overcome. He will always endure. There are people today doing their best to cast Jesus Christ out of this world. They're writing all kind of terrible things about him on Facebook and social media and on the internet. I mean, they're saying derogatory and insulting things about Christians and about people of faith. And I'm going to tell you something. God and the Bible and Jesus Christ have nothing to fear. God, through the centuries, has buried all of his pallbearers. And he will continue to do that. And friends, if you would live forever, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.